Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, here we go. Welcome to the Greatest Story Never Told podcast, episode number 76. We are chugging along here. Guess what we have, Steve?
What do we have, Miles?
We have an unofficial sponsor of the Greatest Story Never Told podcast.
All right.
Yeah, we might have a real sponsor. Who knows? You know, we don't listen to this. But one thing we do know is that if you would like to make a small donation to our local Fisher houses, the three in the area, you'll become our unofficial sponsor. Here we go, guys. I donated $75 to the local chapter of the three Fisher houses, equal to the number of episodes that you completed when I finished putting that out there. I only ask, since I'm not open yet, that you remind people that mead has been making a splash before hard seltzer, has been around longer than beer, and is not only more flavorful, but has 100 more styles to enjoy. So support a local meadery like Hero Font, Apigard, or Seattle Mead, to name a few.
That's Thank you, Seattle Mead, for just being Seattle Apigard.
Yeah, that from Chris Redwood, the Kitsap Mead guy. And he won a few gold medals at the Washington Mead and Cider Cup a few weeks ago. And he'd love to get us some of those.
Now, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't know much about mead beyond the fact the historical presence of it. I'm aware of that. Not that. I don't know that I've ever tried it. Mike, I know, was it last week? You were saying you wanted to get in the mead game a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Try some mead. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but with all that in mind, here's the problem with mead. And it's not mead's fault. It's the optics, right? So with mead, don't you feel like 9 times out of 10 that somebody says, try the mead? You have this image in your mind of what they look like. The dude is 6'7". He is bald. He has a beard that can hide an eagle's nest. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a kilt. And while he could probably pop my head like a grape, that's just not the dude he is.
He's also got a Viking hat.
Right.
You know what I mean? With
or
horns.
He drinks it out of a horn.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm at, what you call it? What's the thing? Renaissance.
Oh, Renaissance Fair. Festival. Ye old turkey
ye
old, leg.
Yeah, and ye old. So look, mead might be delicious. I honestly have not tried it to know. But it's just the optics on it. I feel like it's descendants of Vikings or the people
that
insist I drink.
I definitely would try it. I've never had it before.
Hell yeah.
Ted said it tastes more like wine. So it's less more on the beer tip and more on like a fortified wine tip. So whatever. It sounds like to me like
a fortified wine. Well, now you're speaking my language, dog.
So thank you, Chris, for the donation of $75. Okay, so today on the Greatest Story Never Told, real quick, as we celebrate 50 years of KISW, playing back some of our better moments. And I think that one thing that I can say for certain, I've been doing radio since I was about 17 years old.
God, you think you'd be better?
I know, me too. It's
like all these.
No, but
years.
Not only that, but just it keeps getting worse. You know, it's not even. It doesn't even level out. It just turns to. So anyway,
your voice definitely gets worse.
Oh God!
Oh my God!
We can tell by listening to
these
interviews.
I know. It's like, oh my God!
So, you like anything else? When you're starting out in radio, there or any profession, there are people you look up to. There are people who you admire in your field. I was just playing a clip
until
to Jason of this guy that was like the legendary play-by-play guy growing up of West Virginia football and basketball and Pittsburgh Steeler football. A guy named Jack Fleming. I just want to play him this clip because he does this amazing scene setter. But I met Jack Fleming one time and it was crazy. Jack Fleming's partner in the Pittsburgh Steeler booth was a guy named Myron Cope. Who was legendary in the Pittsburgh area. He was so legendary, Subway made a sandwich for him and it sold in the Pittsburgh area, all right? But Myron, we got a chance to interview Myron. I think I've told this story before, where at the end of the thing, I'm like, hey, Myron, tell your wife, because, you know, they were married forever.
Just keep in mind, the one thing about Myron Cope, the guy was so gracious, great interview, but he just, at one point he goes, fellas, and he'd indicated it like 3 times, but it finally got to the borderline where he's like, fellas, I apologize. I've really got to go. Like, I've really got to run. I have an appointment. No problem. And that's when Miles throws out the, hey, man, tell your wife, you know, that we said hello, we love her, blah, blah, blah. Well, fellas, that's where I'm going. This is the 10th anniversary of her death.
Oh,
and I'm going to her grave.
Flowers on her grave.
Like,
and that's
oh my God.
The end of the interview. And I'm like, I have already slipped off my chair and crawled underneath the desk.
It was horrible moment.
We'll be right back.
Right.
Thank you, Myron Cope. By the way, the Steelers take on your Ravens this Sunday at 1 from Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Because we would have the opposing play-by-play guy come on our show every week for whoever the Ravens are playing, so we could talk to him about the team or whatever. So Myron Cope is that guy, but this is one of the greatest moments of my life. And of course, at the end of it, I completely effed the thing up, right? I mean, just completely.
Well, fellas, that's where I'm going.
So, right, okay. So like later on, and you know, like met some TV people that I was that I enjoyed growing up, and when we got to Baltimore and started doing the show. Don and Mike, who were legendary in my mind, the afternoon guys, they...
greatest show ever.
Yeah, they came in and did their show live. We got a chance to meet all of them. It was awesome.
Because you look up to these guys. Because you know why? Because they do radio and they do a good job at it. And
well, they do it like we do it. They don't want to play so much music. They want to talk. They want to make you laugh. Right. They just have stupid things to say. And deep down, they're messed up or they're drunk and their wives are mad at them. But they just came in and they shared it. Yeah. They're just straight up stuff.
And they gave us advice and, you know, like...
keep kicking ass! Yeah,
or you got to dress better. First that, of all, don't was, look
yeah.
like
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Act like you belong.
Come on, guys. Like, dude, we don't make any money. We don't have any clothes. All we do is buy drugs. Then we went on. It was pretty cool. One time we went on the Ron and Fez show. They were legendary in New York City, but they were operating out of D.C. at the time, and they had just a great following. I think they ended up on Sirius for a while.
They did, for a while, yeah.
But that was a cool experience. But honestly, as far as being, you know, a kid – and not only just being interested in radio, but also in television, we were there for the infancy of ESPN. And ESPN changed the way that a kid got to watch sports. And when you're a kid,
you could watch them.
You love sports, man. And from, you know, Chris Berman to Tom Meese, who I got a chance to meet, because he was also a play-by-play guy in Morgantown, the late Tom Meese, who ended up passing away in a terrible accident a long time ago. But he was one of the original guys. Stuart Scott was one of those guys who you watched growing up, and you loved him.
I saw Chris Berman on a beach in Hawaii. And it was unsightly. I mean, it's the only way to say it. It was my wife who pointed. We walked by, and she goes, "Do you know who that was?" Now, out of my periphery, I made it a point to not look. You could just tell, like, the mass that was on this lawn chair. I'm like, I don't want to see that. And she goes, "Well, it was Chris Berman." So I kind of backtrack. I'm like, oh, God. It is Chris Berman. Yeah. And he was all oiled up, man, because he's trying to get a tan, right? So, I mean, but there's a lot of them to tan. And I just remember how slick he looked.
Sure.
Like, God almighty.
And the weird thing about ESPN was they would pair people up together when they did SportsCenter, and you had your standards. Like, you know, Chris Berman would always work with Dan Patrick, or Chris Mortensen would always work with Tom Meese, or whatever the deal was, you had this clique, this group. But, you know, with Kenny Mayne, who we're going to bring on here in a second from an interview, Kenny Mayne was one of those guys who, no matter who they put him in with, Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick, Chris Berman. My favorite pairing was probably with Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott.
Yeah,
I mean, when
all
those guys got together and did their thing, it was hysterical. The promos were hysterical. The way that they brought entertainment to sports was great. But anyway, when we moved to Seattle, Kenny Mayne's from Seattle. We got a chance to sit down and talk with Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, I think he was launching Run Freely. .org, which is an organization that it helps a lot of veterans who've had leg injuries get back on their feet, get back to be active, whether it's just being able to walk their dog around the block, whether it's to, you know, run a 5K, in some cases half marathons. But this boot that someone created, that I'm sure it was Kenny himself, he probably did in his basement, but whatever, you know, the money raised to that organization actually goes to helping veterans being able to get back on their feet again. So and Kenny's a fan of the station. You know, he grew up here.
Right.
So I'm from what I recollect, well, I'll take that back. I saw him at Chambers Bay one day, and I said, "Kenny, God damn it, will you just come on the show? Don't you have anything you could come on the show for?" And he's like, "I'll take a look, man. I listen to your rock station and your Pearl Jam." Typical Kenny man. Yeah, I'll get on your rock and roll radio station. First, he had to clear it with ESPN.
Right.
But then when we got the figure out the way to do it with Run Freely, he was able to come in. And whether you know it or not, Kenny Mayne just retired after, I want to say, 27 years.
Something like that,
at ESPN. So his last show was just last night. So why don't we do this this week on The Greatest Story Never Told? We'll go back in time and play the time we got to sit down with the one and only Kenny Mayne.
Back in time.
Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio. The one and only Kenny Mayne. Kenny, have a seat here. We got your tea.
What are the headphones for?
In case you need them. Do you need them? Do you need to hear yourself? Have you ever done this before? Have you ever broadcast before?
It is cooler when you put headphones on. There's something.
You
about
look cooler. They don't even work.
I'm going to take you back to when Spencer Haywood used to be a DJ.
How far back is that?
He was playing for the Sonics. And he would go over. This is 70s, early mid 70s, right? Google it. I was there at the game where he hurt his knee. There was a leak at the Coliseum, and Spencer Haywood went down on the knee. But he would do late night, I think it was 96.5 Jazz. This is Haywood, 96.5.
He would go on and do a late night jazz show.
This is Frankie Beverly and Maze. That's what he did. I just went olden times too, drop my daughters at the Coliseum.
Right.
To go to, and I didn't know you guys were a conglomerate, so I can mention the end.
Aren't you a conglomerate? Oh, yeah. Aren't you working for the Disney, ABC,
yeah.
ESPN?
I'm not knocking it. I just didn't know. I thought you were some independent rock station trying to make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man.
That doesn't happen.
That's us.
You're owned by the man.
Independent rock. As long as the man says it's all right.
That doesn't happen.
And the man's
anymore.
A little guy,
right.
too.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about the man, and the, honestly, God, the CEO of this, we met the guy. He looks like he's 7 years old. He does. Dude, he's 7 years old. He's like 5'2". I mean, it's the damnedest thing.
The good news is he's in town right now. Now to hear Steve say that.
But he really perfect. He really is.
No, that's yeah. I used to use that, or I still do, actually. Like, if a guy strikes out looking, just that's another example of the man holding us down. and people are okay with that. But no, in the old days, we would either take a bus, or one of the parents would drop us off at the Sonics. At like, you know, games were at 7:05 or 7:30, whatever. Screw around at the food fair, go to the game. Wait
the
out.
Are you mad that the fun festival, all the rides and stuff is gone?
Yeah, Fun Forest, man.
Fun Forest is that kind of ticked me off.
I'm trying to tell a story.
I'm sorry.
You guys have plenty of time
Kitty
to talk.
Everybody, go ahead.
So then we'd wait out on Mercer, and somebody pick us up. I mean, we like to chaperone a little closer. So am I there? Am I seeing what's going on at that concert? Not right now, because I'm over here serving the community.
Yes, you are.
But they're safe. They're old. They're 14 and 12.
That's a hell of a story, Kenny. I am very glad that you got the chance to finish
Well, one time, shut up. One time we saw Spencer Haywood again, or was it Fred Brown? It was somebody. They came out in their Cadillac and Mercedes-Benz, whatever the hell, some fancy car to us. We had a Galaxy 500 at the time. And my dad had a Comet. So, you know,
stuff. That's nice.
The white ghetto of Kent. We tried to, tried to bust my way out. And our friends wouldn't believe that we saw them. It's like, they have to get in cars. They live on Mercer Island.
You're too poor to see them.
Well, speaking of that that high living, when you were down, you played quarterback for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
I did.
Nevada.
Nevada. Watched a game the other night that kicked San Diego State's ass, by the way.
They actually are a bowl team this year, yeah, but who isn't?
They look pretty good. and you know, so Randall Cunningham was the quarterback behind you at the time. Randall Cunningham, who we had a chance to interview a few times when we were broadcasting in Baltimore. I did. I interviewed him all.
The Ravens,
I used to do the weekly chat up with him. And talking to Randall Cunningham, strangely enough, he's like the kitchen cabinet king of like Las Vegas or something.
He's handy. He's also a pastor now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he makes gospel music. Great man. He's a good one. And actually helped me in a great way. Now, I don't know if it's appropriate for Rock Station. Sure it is. Let's tell the story. You brought Randall up.
Right.
We lost twin sons, and Randall's like I said, is a pastor now. He called me in, and this is in Minnesota. Remember the year they should have won in 98? Anderson missed field goal, but you don't blame the whole thing on him. And Randall said, can we say a prayer for you? And I was like, yeah, you know, bring a prayer on. And
that's how most people respond.
And he and his minister, you know, they have like a pastor on the team. And it was like they were demanding, you know, like it was fire and brim. I say, hey, usually when I ask, it's a little more polite. I'm just asking here. But sure enough, baby came, and that's a healthy baby. This is after losing the two.
Okay.
So I always relate that. I mean, it's just such a great connection. We've been friends forever since. And he lost a child more recently, which was a terrible thing down there in Las Vegas.
When you were down there in school, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas was basically just kind of taking off, and it was based more around the basketball team. Jerry Tarkanian was the coach.
Eating towels.
The team went to number one. The team was so goddamn good, he decided, hey, I'm going to put Danny in, my son, and he can play point
guard. Yeah, but he can play.
It will still be used fine, and he could play.
Yeah.
What was it like to just be a part of that atmosphere at that time? Even though being on the football team is a little different than being on the basketball team, but still, it could not have been a regular college experience.
It was more regular than you think. Like, you got tired of the strip. I went the first 40 days, we went out on the strip every night. And, you know, when you're in college, you have $20. You know, our scholarship, I think I got $380 a month or something.
Per diem.
Yeah. It was like a stipend, they call it. And, you know, so we're scrounging by on whatever we save from our garbage man job in Seattle, which I blew at Long Acres mostly. But, you know, times are tough on money. And it's not that fun to go to Caesar's Palace with $5, you know. So you just don't. So we stopped, and I got into studies, and I got into football. The basketball team was great right before I got there, and then great later. But when I was there, it was kind of an NIT-ish team, if that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. And then from there, you were in a game against Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Completely destroyed your ankle. There completely it destroyed it.
That's why I'm wearing flip-flops right now. I'd rather be barefoot because shoes hurt me. I can't wear shoes. They just...
Eight surgeries, right?
Nine
surgeries.
Are you flip-flops on the set? If we're looking at you, you know, we see the waist up, you got your suit, but I'm guessing flip-flops.
At SportsCenter now, I'm doing again in Los Angeles. If we have to do a stand-up in the show, we pre-tape that usually, and we throw on shoes, and then you take them off for the show. Usually, right. I'm barefoot.
But all honesty, like you could throw a football 70 yards.
I don't can anymore, but I could.
You could throw a football 70. You were with
Randall could throw it closer to 90, but you know, yeah, I could throw 70 something.
You ended up trying out for the Seahawks. You're throwing the ball to Steve Largent.
That was the thrill. My tryout with the Seahawks, I threw to Steve Largent. He's my demo.
And you did great until they did your physical.
They did the physical. They did a couple. Like, I had to sign a waiver and everything. I wouldn't sue if, you know, I was injured based on my history of the injury. It was a fracture dislocation for you orthopedic physicians listening. Let's play something from Aerosmith right now. we don't do that?
Okay. We can, whatever That's, you want
no,
to play.
No, I got some Stevie Wonder I want to play. You have Look Around from where I'm coming from?
Ted. Okay. Not so much Stevie Wonder here in this computer.
You will find Jimi Hendrix in Living Color.
Yeah, oh, we'll do Jimi Hendrix, right. Whatever you want. Let's not time for
You're a Pearl Jam fan. Sure. You basically travel with the band. You're like a roadie.
I'm with the band, yeah.
Why are you always with the band? Every picture I see, you're like backstage hanging out.
No, I've been not the main. I was in Los Angeles. I was a little hyped up about it. It was fun. Two great shows.
And you're going Friday night, right?
I'm friends with Jeff, their bass player. And known him, the first time I met him, I did a story for NBA Entertainment when I was freelancing. I don't know what your last question was, but we're here now.
Right, we are. We're Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I could throw it 70 yards. Steve Largent. That was what it was.
It was amazing.
And I failed the physical. Not failed the physical, but I got thrown off because they tested me and on a Cybex machine. And I would have cheated had I known what they were doing. I didn't know they were up to no good. They wanted to test and see if my left and my right were equal. Turned out my left was way stronger than my right, and they said, you're not good enough to risk on an injury.
Then you did local television here for 7 years. And
Channel 11.
You're going to Pearl Jam on Friday night.
Yeah. When I quit the local television job, went through my blue period, I assembled garbage cans, I sold prepaid legal insurance, then I got a job at MCI, selling long distance. But all the while, I was freelancing in TV. And NBA Entertainment had me do a story with Sean Kemp and Jeff Ament. Back when Pearl Jam was just like... You know, just getting noticed. They'd already released their big one, but they hadn't, you know, made it. And it was just fun. He was a good dude. We kind of stayed in touch on and off and have been friends since.
How about Sean Kemp?
Sean Kemp, I saw when we did a Sonic story. He's living down in Maple Valley or somewhere on a farm, I believe. Yeah,
he's got a restaurant over in Lower.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does.
And his son's playing basketball here.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see here. As far as the wider world of sports,
that's why I came to promote wider world of sports,
which is no longer.
No, we're not going to talk
it's
about
no longer
that.
On ESPN.
Oh, we have to, otherwise I could get fired. So
okay. So this is a paid appearance. This is
not a paid deal, but I called ESPN Radio first, and they didn't have room for me. So here I am with you guys to promote wider world of sports.
One and only Kenny May. Now, as we were talking about the business, the conglomerates, and everything else, you had maybe in my mind one of the greatest gigs ever for a long time. As far as just didn't you pretty
assembling
well
trash.
Pick the well, that, and you know what?
I mean, like that is the stuff. You know, it's the stuff of dreams.
You were the guy who put the trash can under every wrestling ring in America.
You know what? My best garb. I just went out. I took a friend out to Alki because I haven't been out there in a while. He's from out of town. He's the guy that shoots the cool shots on Monday Night Football, like the tight shot in the end zone. After the touchdown, it's called a steady cam. And he, you know, doesn't know the area, so we took him out there to look back and all that. And I was bragging, like, this was my route. This was my Friday route when I was a garbage man back in 77, 78.
Top that one.
Yeah. No, you can't, really.
but the web, the wider world of sports is now done. And I was going to ask you if you're flying back to Bristol. But
TV special on December 12th.
You got 10 of them a year.
Is that technically a Christmas special then?
This no. Well.
A holiday special, man. It's in December.
Let's call it that. If that helps us.
Dude,
but
do it. Do
this
it.
Might be the only promotion. So we're looking for all of
Kenny Mayne's holiday
it's called,
special.
What happened is I was doing a show called Main Street, which was like basically a situation comedy set at ESPN. It was just me doing silly things at ESPN, my life there. We had like real actors, and all of them have gone on. Everybody's done something with me since then. Aubrey Plaza is on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Ben Schwartz is on True Lies. Or True Lies. No, not True Lies. What's
True
called?
Blood.
House of Lies. House of Lies. Yeah, with Don Cheadle. John Glazer's a comic genius. He's out in New York. He does stuff for Adult Swim. Allison Beckers done Parks.
So really the only weak link was
Smith.
You.
Yeah.
You got a holiday special coming up, and that's about it.
No, so after they killed that, I said, what if we do a takeoff on Wide World of Sports? We'll add an R. Wider.
Even if ABC owns it, and probably could have given you the green light.
Well, I was just going to my bosses. Yeah, we use the ABC, the sound at the top of it for the introduction. It's meant to be a modern, this is my take on what's like in the world. So the first 2 years we went internationally. This year we just went around America.
What was the most bizarre experience you were a part of as far as all those different experiences? I know you canal jumped or...
Yeah,
or,
that was in Holland.
Is that the thing with the pole?
Yeah, it's like pole vaulting over a canal, and they do that. It's almost every sport we covered was part of a history of something. Like I bungee jumped in New Zealand. The natives used to jump off trees and kiss the ground to bless the crops. You know, like everything was born.
They couldn't just kiss the crops. Do you ever say to these guys, like, hey, man,
knee down, kneel
I
down.
Hear you, and I think that's cool, and that's great, but, you know, a here's safer way of doing this, just, like, walk over to the crop itself, you know, and kiss it. Because that seems like a really bad idea, man.
I don't know why they did it that way. And then, since then, these guys made millions off of, hey, this is the place where bungee jumping, or this form, you know. The Palio in Italy, I'd say, was the all-timer. That's a horse race that's run in a town square. Think of if they put dirt down in Pioneer Square and ran a horse race. That's essentially what they do. Bigger, a little bigger
safe.
Square.
Those horses would be stabbed.
Yeah, it wouldn't be allowed in America. I did Running from the Bulls this year. I think the road bowling in Ireland was a standout.
No, wait. When you say you did Running of the Bulls, like, were you there or were you running?
No, this guy from Boston, he's an attorney, promoter, he's everything. He brought over bulls, they just brought him in from Western Kentucky, actually. But he... He tried to stage an American version, the American Bull Run, similar to what happens in Spain. It's not the same because you're not in Spain, but it was dangerous.
How many people showed up for the Kentucky version? I mean, was it a lot?
This was actually held in Virginia. The bulls came from Kentucky.
All right.
They were shipped in Preston.
Does Virginia not have its own? Like, you need a special kind of bull that's going to change you?
Past Blacksburg, no.
I think Preston Folks, the man from Western Kentucky, he's like central casting of the, you know, big hoss, you know, on the farm. And he comes in with his bulls, and they ran him down a chute at a drag strip. So the first couple times, the bulls were totally lame. They look like they were, like, on NyQuil or something. They're just walking around looking what the hell's going on. It wasn't even scary. But the third, fourth, fifth, I was like, because I got a ruined ankle, so I had to wear my leg brace to run. And on the seventh one, they let all the freaking bulls go at once, and there's way too many people. There's a girl in a fetal position. I just checked out. I said, I think you guys think you got your shots. I'm out, because I don't care about it that much.
Talking to Kenny Mayne from ESPN, the world's longest par three in South Africa.
Yeah, that was a blast. But we played a crazier one in New Mexico. If you guys are golfers, go to the El Fuego Baca Shootout in Socorro, New Mexico, near Albuquerque. You go up to an 8,000-foot mountain, and you have to play one hole of golf, and it took me 6 hours. I took second place.
So it's just down the
second place.
Well, there's rattlesnakes. I pulled a cactus needle 3 months later out of my knee. I didn't even know. I thought it was just like an ingrown hair, and instead it was a needle.
That's amazing.
But it was a great experience, but they've decided we're not doing that. I'm doing 70 sports centers and 10 features and looking for work.
Yeah. And looking for work.
Are you actively lobbying for a job here?
Not with you necessarily.
Not with us.
I mean, depends what it pays.
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, there's the Fox channel now. There's NBC.
No, anything but that. I can't do stuff that's direct competition with ESPN, obviously.
Okay, so you've signed a non-compete on that, dude.
I haven't really signed anything, but I can't. I would know it would be wrong. Fox didn't want me anyway, so what does it matter? But I wouldn't show up on their channel. I would show up on, hopefully, Comedy Central.
That's what I was going to say.
Turner,
you pitched a few things to Comedy Central. You basically wanted to do a sports show in kind of a daily comedy way.
Yeah, Daniel Kellison's the guy's name. He's Jimmy Kimmel's friend, and he called Jimmy and said, I'm looking for a guy like Kenny. And Jimmy said, why don't you call him instead?
Because
he's more like him. So we became friends and developed the show, but it didn't get picked up. And then Norm MacDonald did a version of it a couple years
ago. I was going
to
tell you that. Like, Norm MacDonald is in a lot of ways kind of parallels you. You both like horse racing and gambling. You both have a very dry sense of humor. It just amazes me that you don't have, like, even HBO, just doing a comedy type of sports show.
Why don't you put that together?
I would love to, actually. That would be fantastic.
No, I mean, the idea was always SportsCenter's pretty fun, but what if you could do SportsCenter and go over the line? You know, because we all try to get to it, but what if you could really get crazy or swear or whatever? You know, like just call stuff like it really is. Instead, but you also have to, on a SportsCenter, make sure you say 19 rebounds and they've won four of their last six. And you have to get into the pertinent things as well.
What's John Clayton like?
John Clayton's a monster.
Is he?
He has groupies.
Does he call you up every once in a while and say, hey, what are you doing, man?
I saw him last night. No, I knew John Clayton when he was at the Tacoma News Tribune, and he was great. He's always been good to me because I was like this young kid learning how to do TV and learning how to do how to integrate into a team and so forth. And he was always helpful and a wise man. He knows football like nobody else. I mean, I love the game, but I don't know the game like he knows
the
game.
And you played the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know like, you know, what the hot read is on a corner blitz if you're running such and such. You know, like, I know football stuff, but I don't know every general manager's cell phone. You know, John's, like, tied in to the game. So, and we need him. We need guys like him, Adam Schefter. There's great guys, Mortensen, you know, these guys that we can, hey, what's going on with this team? There's this issue, and we can have the real news stories. I don't do that many real news stories.
Right.
Who would you say in all the ESPN, there's a lot of people who've legitimately are athletes.
Of
all
the wider people, world of sports, that's December 12th.
Of all the people that you've
worked with. ESPN 2, holiday special.
That's right. Of all the people that you've worked with, who would you say is the most athletic member of the whole group? We know that Scott Van Pelt played basketball at University of Maryland, so he's probably got at least some hoop skills.
He's tall.
He's got a very tiny head. Like, his head is so small for the rest of his
body. Craig Kilborn, going back, he could play basketball. He played college ball.
That's a tough one. Dan Patrick, he's not there anymore, but he'd be in that conversation, certainly.
Rich Eisen tries to run a 40 every year.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen him. What have I seen him do athletic? Maybe. I mean, you know, he's not a non-athletic, but he didn't play a sport, if that's what you're asking.
Right, right. So, would you say it was you?
I'm up there. I played Division 1A, but yeah. I'm also disabled with a ruined ankle, so that takes away a little bit, doesn't it?
But that was really serious. I mean, that's one of those things.
It remains serious.
It's been bothering you your entire, since
and,
that time.
And it will continue to.
Every time you watch an Oregon Duck football game, do you think of looking up?
No, it sucked. We were getting killed. The Oregon was good that year, too. They had Reggie Ogburn at quarterback, 1980, and I'm second string. I was perennial second string. Both my years I redshirted 1 year. And I played the year after I broke my leg, too. Because when you're young, you just screw it. Fracture dislocation. Right. I'm right back. Here I come. You know, let's ruin it for life right away. I probably did some damage to it. But I wanted to play. When you get football in your blood, I still have the vision. Russell Wilson gets the flu. He's fine. It's just an overnight flu. And Pete says you got to go tonight.
It was your decision. Okay. It was your decision.
That assumes all the other quarterbacks have the flu too. It's a bad flu. Right. Food poisoning. Something.
But in all honesty, it was your decision to call an audible and to change the play that got your leg destroyed, right?
Miles is trying to say it's your own fault.
Probably.
You wrote that.
We called our own plays.
You called
our coach Tony Knapp, who just passed away. God rest. Great man. And it's great how, like, you play, it doesn't have to be football, whatever your sport is, or it didn't have to be a sport. It could be music, it could be anything. You have this connection with the people who were in your life. Like, I'll never forget those people and that coach. Like, he probably was, aside from my father, one of the stronger male influences in my life. So there's just all that bond, you know, and the game itself, like, it's impossible to let it go. Like, yeah. I'm still throwing balls at my couch. All right, I have nothing left. Right. I can still throw, but I can't move around so well. I got to play in a mud football event that will be on that December 12th special.
The holiday special.
Yeah, the holiday special.
ESPN 2.
That's right, Kenny Mayne. That's crazy, man. That really is. That you were able to call your own plays.
Yeah, and I asked him once. I said, why do you let us call our own plays? He says, because if I haven't done my job by Friday, I don't deserve to be. His point was, I need to teach you what I want done, and now you're 20 years old. You know, you ought to be able to handle play calling, you know, so... Go out there and do it. So they would send in plays occasionally. But, I mean, that was unusual. It would be unusual today as well.
You could live anywhere in the world, obviously, with this job, and you choose to live in your hometown of Seattle. How much has the town to you just changed?
It has a lot. In some good ways and some less good ways.
Like, what did we miss out on?
It's not as nice town, I don't think. I don't think it's as nice as it was.
You mean as far as people?
Yeah, like walking down the street. But it was, you know, there were fewer people, and you probably all knew each other. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I don't mean it's mean. I don't mean it's Connecticut mean.
How bad was that?
How bad is Connecticut?
Yeah,
you never hear, like, man, you're Connecticut mean.
They call it the New England Reserve. No, there's plenty of nice people. It's not universal. I'm saying the feel of Seattle versus the feel of anywhere in Connecticut is a different feel. There's just a good vibe here. It's, you know, it feels good to be here.
Chance on Twitter wanted to know about your pictures of buildings.
I've been into my building period lately. I don't know. I've been taking a lot of pictures. I was surrounded by great photographers. And are they playing us out?
I was going to try to get his attention. I couldn't. I'm hoping you'll stay a segment, but we got to break.
I'll read commercials, whatever you want.
He's looking for work.
Levitt's Furniture. Levitt's Furniture, the finest furniture there is. Levitt's. Go to Levitt's. Dick, what else? What was the question?
The question was...
I was around Aaron Fruitman, great photographer, and he kind of inspired me to be... I'm not very good, but I've found little pictures lately that are kind of cool.
Yeah. We'll take a break, come back with Kenny Mayne from ESPN after these.
The Men's Room is back. 99.9 KISW.
Today is coming up momentarily. We're joined in studio by the one and only Kenny Mayne.
Kenny Wheelock Mayne.
That's right.
Is your middle name really Wheelock?
Yes.
Is it Wheelock or Wheelock?
Wheelock. A gentleman named Eliezer Wheelock founded Dartmouth College, and I'm related to him.
And you were named.
It's a family name.
Aren't you lucky that's in the family?
It was embarrassing when I was little, and now it's kind of like I'm proud of it because I'm the last.
Wheelock?
I might be the last one.
Probably in the United States.
You know, now look. I don't want to bust the bubble, but like, it's one thing to say, man, I'm the last, I don't know, I'm the last heir in the family.
The last Wayne's brother.
Good. But what, that'll never end. That will never end. But I'm the last Wheelock. It's like, but we all know why.
In my family, the last male, my grandfather, my father passed. My Aunt Mary, she was a Wheelock. And my, like I mentioned, my son earlier. So we had no. I'm last in my little, you know, our universe.
And but your kids are what? They're teenagers, probably?
They're two girls, 14 and 12. Riley, how I like to that? Brag about her. It's all right.
You like to brag about one, but not the other.
I'll brag about both.
Okay. You have to if they're listening.
I better come up with something on Annie pretty quick. No, I'm kidding. Annie's
no, it's
smart.
True, though. I have Annie's, a 12 and a 14-year-old as
Annie's,
well.
Like, walking through school. She's A's and B's, and, like, we didn't even think about it. So I think it's the first one you always, like, oh, my God, what, you know, how are we going to do this? And,
yeah, the trailblazer.
You overthink it. But Riley is a good singer, and she was at her concert. She's in, like, the all-city choir, whatever they call it, you know, and she's an only freshman. She comes out of the stands, and she's wearing high heels all dressed up. She trips and falls, goes to her knees, gets up, walks by me and says, that could have been worse. And then she keeps walking, composed herself, and, like, murdered her solo. Like, it was so cool to watch it because I think a lot of kids in any sport or music or whatever would, you know, at that age would, like, freak out and not hold their composure, but she was great.
How did your kids take your early exit from Dancing with the Stars? I know that's the age group where they really
pissed.
Care.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you were the first to go, right?
I was the first in my season, the season two, they called that one. And I was misjudged. I was better than Master P, and he knows it. But I don't care. I mean, the fact that I was first off actually benefited me because there became this joke with that being so bad. And then I was brought back to do, like, these things we call dance centers. Jerry Rice and Len Goodman, the judge, and I would do a fake sports cast, sort of. But they didn't do it last season, and then this past one that just ended, they wanted me to do it again, but I said, let's do it live. Wouldn't that be better? Because it's live to the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock in L.A. and it's live to the East, and it tapes for Central and or for the West, I guess, Mountain and West. And they didn't want to do it live, so
how many hours?
We didn't do it.
And it was the cha-cha that took you out, right?
Yeah.
Like, were there any dance?
She asked me to do too much. I was ready to do, like, keep me in about 8-foot box. I would have looked elegant, but she had me all over the damn floor. I was just running to get to places. There's no more dancing. I'm just running like it's a P.E. drill in fifth grade.
I saw where Bill Nye was the first out here. It must be a Seattle thing. I can't figure it out. But how much training?
I'm over it.
Honest to God, how long
were you there? We did, like, 6 weeks, but we only did, like, 2 or 3 days a week because I was working football season at the time, you know, doing my fake NFL stories and pretend football stories, we called them. And so, like, I would go shoot Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, fly home Friday. She'd fly out to Connecticut. We'd do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'd take off again. Jerry Rice told me he worked out every day for, like, 8 weeks.
But isn't that just kind of like how Jerry
That's
Rice kinda is?
That's kind of Jerry is, yeah.
Just to get ready for Dancing with the Stars. And he won.
He did well. Yeah, no, he didn't win.
He did not win.
No, Drew Lachey won that year.
Who is it? Hines Ward who won?
Drew Lachey.
Hines Ward, Emmitt Smith.
A lot of football players have won. Jerry's pissed he didn't win. And he would, he'd be mad at me if I didn't, on the dance centers, put on enough makeup. And we brought him out of his shell. He was kind of this calm, you know, very, not insular, but, you know, he kept it, you know, inside a bit as a player, right? You know, he didn't say a lot. He didn't talk any. He wasn't like the Seahawk DBs, okay? He wasn't like that.
right.
Which I like. Those guys, they talk mess after getting scored on. Like, they'll talk at any point. It doesn't matter the situation. They're going to say something. But I love those guys. And last night was so great because they played so well, and the rush was strong enough, kept them uncomfortable. He had nothing downfield. He threw one or two balls all the game.
Maybe
he was throwing like 5 yards. Mm-hmm. In the first half, Brees was like 14 for it, as I wow you with my statistical prowess. Like, whatever, 14 for 18 or whatever it was for, like, 70 yards. You know, like, nothing. Just dumps.
And do you feel like a Seahawk? I mean, with the shots you got, even though it was just a small period of time. The infancy of the team.
I don't feel like a player. I feel like more part of the organization to some degree because I was a 12th man.
I
raised the flag.
Obviously, other than the year when they went to Detroit, do you feel that this is the year?
No question. There's not any question. You shouldn't ever get, you know, too far ahead of it. Like I, after the game, I was like, go back to work. Like, celebrate that for like 49ers. 10 minutes. Yeah, you got another big game on the road. And, you know, there's no let up. And every team can beat every team. That old cliche is true. Like, that's why we almost lost to some lesser teams. We weren't up. Our offense is finally good. Our offense sucked for a long time. We were just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it wasn't on a big. Now, we didn't have Percy in the game. You know, like, just think when we had that speed.
And with this win against the 49ers, the bye week in the playoffs, you're the number one seed. There's no team in the NFC that could come into Seattle win. Do you?
I mean, New Orleans, when they come back, and I think they will, I think they'll be better, and it'll be a better game. But I don't think anybody can beat Seattle there if I were betting money.
What do you think about the NFL saying that, just like the year when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl the first time, unfortunately the game was in Detroit. Nothing wrong with Detroit. It is what it is. But, you know, you're going to the Super Bowl. It's like,
everything's wrong with Detroit,
it's like going to
I'm a fan of Detroit. They're trying. They just went bankrupt.
Yeah, they are trying. Right. It's still kind of a hellhole.
Dave Bing at Mayor. How about that?
It's like going to a bowl game and you know, playing in a shell.
Oh, the fact that it was held there.
Yeah,
in Detroit.
But you know what? On that, was it that trip or the All-Star game? Because the baseball All-Star game happened, like, right after. Like, they had two big events back to back. I forget if it was the before summer or whatever. But yeah, they're trying. They've been hit hard. But yeah, could you have gone to Miami or somewhere? Right. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Now this year, it looks like
I like this year. New York City is one of the coolest cities
great,
in the world.
Yeah.
The parties and all the atmosphere are going to be insane. And you play outdoors. If the quintessential game is Lambeau Field in the snow, what's
this
wrong
is,
with snow
this
in New
is
Jersey?
Football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Dress warm. How about that? There's a tip. Wear a coat.
In December, or and February, now, as it is.
Now, being Kenny
Now, would I rather be in a luxury suite? Sure.
Yeah, but. Can you make that call? Like, can you make the call and say, like, hey, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, can I get a suite for a Friday night? Hey,
I don't think Jeff has suites at the Super Bowl. He's not.
Or the Key Arena. I mean, like, could you have those connections? Can you make calls and get tickets? Could you go to the Super Bowl if you wanted
no.
to?
No. Super Bowl. Passes, Super Bowl, for money, I've never been able to call somebody and say, give me a free Super Bowl ticket. If you're doing a sponsorship thing, like, you know, showing up at Company X's party and saying funny things for 20 minutes, you might get tickets that way. But I don't have that hookup to.
You can get all the free golf balls you want.
I used to, but that whole deal collapsed. I got a guy somewhere, probably.
How did you lose the golf deal?
They ran out of money. They just stopped advertising. I drove them into the ground.
Yeah.
And you know what else? The girl that does, what's her name, Flo for Progressive?
Yeah.
I did the previous commercial.
So Flo took your job?
Well, I did the terrible commercial, and she got the good one. So she didn't necessarily take my job, but she got that job. I mean, she got that role, yes.
Okay.
I was doing the let's read the tariff of insurance forms here for 5 minutes. And
how did you get the role of Kenny Mayne in Kung Fu Mr. Magoo?
They just called. And it was fun.
Can you play yourself?
Could you be Kenny Mayne?
That was a fun hour or whatever. It was just did voiceover work in some New York studio. It was a blast.
And then you
did someone actually like give you direction on how to be you better?
A little bit.
You know, like, hey, Kenny, you know, we know you're being yourself, but
guy.
The way we perceive you
Believe me,
is...
I have a guy named Matt, who's my producer for Wide World of Sports, the TV holiday special, December 12th on ESPN2.
Very good.
That we've heard about.
So much.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
You can, if you Google, do this. Go to, if anybody's never heard of it, and that's most of your people, ESPN.com. That's, again, ESPN.com, and then put a slash, that slash, it goes that way.
Right.
Which one is that called?
Forward backslash.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. The one that goes like the top is more to the right and it comes back to the left.
I could do great.
That's a backslash, right?
Whatever. Just try all the slashes and then put WWOS, Wider World of Sports. And then you can click on whatever story you want and go around the world and see all 18 of them if you want. Okay. And then the TV special is coming up.
One and only Kenny Mayne. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great time tonight at the Deck of the Hall Ball.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Lord. I'm pissed. I like her. My daughters play her, you know, nonstop, and she's good.
It's gotten to the point that you like her now. You've heard of her?
You know what? They'll never start on time.
No, they won't.
Yeah, what's she doing?
They stand around and wait. You know the.
If you're familiar with the end, come on, man. It's not starting on time.
Exactly. Thanks, Kenny. We really appreciate it.
You guys still say Seattle's best rock?
Yeah,
I grew up.
Do we? No, I don't know. What's our Hold on, what do you say?
You guys just talk?
Well, like on the,
man. We just talk.
We're a talk show.
Can I call for a song?
You can do whatever you want.
You can.
You can request one. I won't play it. We play a couple songs tonight.
What are you talking
That's
about?
What I like about Ted. Ted will take a request and will not play
this.
It.
Do the same
thing.
Drove
around Seattle to come in here and fill an hour, and I can't play one song.
It's radio. You say, we'll try to get that on for you.
I want to hear...
it's coming up soon.
I want to hear Talking Book, Big Brother.
Wow.
Which one's the band?
Come on.
This is the guy you're requesting
that,
music.
That hurts.
Exactly.
Stevie Wonder's his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stevie Wonder.
Sorry, at the Rock, I don't have a ton of Stevie Wonder in here.
That is a shame.
You know, he used to open for the Rolling Stones, so you should.
Yeah.
But and why didn't he have the Super Bowl halftime? The Rolling Stones, they did the same thing. He was the pregame show, and the Rolling Stones were the halftime show when the Seahawks played.
They told him it was the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Has he never done, I know, has he never done a halftime show? I mean, they get all these artists, and I mean,
I don't think he has.
There's
and
just
that's
some
a crime
you
against
care.
Humanity.
You know,
seriously,
or
Stevie Wonder hasn't done the Super Bowl.
It's Stevie freaking Wonder, man.
That's a good call.
I mean, like anybody, the Klan probably puts on like Superstition before they do. They're like, love that guy, love him. You know, it's Stevie Wonder. Who doesn't like Stevie Wonder?
You know, what I said the other day, and we're not going to worry about this commercial break. It doesn't matter. This is non-commercial free radio. What we're doing today,
that's right.
Just viewers like you and listeners, just send in. We'll stay on the air somehow. The end can cover it. They're making so much money on that stupid concert. Lord will be on at 9 o'clock. Think we're doing homework tonight? No. What was the question?
Can you get a Pearl Jam?
Oh, I was just saying, no one has ever said, turn Stevie Wonder down. ever. Like, they'll say turn that band down, or, you know, somebody. Doesn't everybody play their music loud in their car because they want people to know what music they're playing?
That's very important.
That's principally why you do it, isn't it?
Does Stevie Wonder have a person that tells him the what the women look like who he's dating?
I'm not sure. His daughter leads him out on stage, Aisha.
Yeah.
Famous from Isn't She Lovely, Baby Crying in the Bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her.
Oh, that's her contribution? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've appeared on a Stevie Wonder album.
No, she sings her ass off. She's a singer.
Is she?
Yeah.
Where else have I heard her? So far, all I know her as crying.
Yeah, no, she comes out in his shows and sings harmony and, you know, blends in on the songs.
Nepotism.
What's the best show you've ever been to? Because you go to a lot of different concerts.
Best moment was with him at the Live 8 concert. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. It was for African Debt Relief. And I was in Philadelphia, and I went to get him to say one line for our show and got him at 15 hours I put in to get him. And he said, I can't be at the All-Star game. I have a high ankle sprain. That was his line.
That's my excuse.
And he murdered it. One take. And I said, when's your album come out? And he looked back. He goes, soon.
So you saw Zeppelin?
No, I'm talking about Stevie Wonder.
No, but Zeppelin was on stage that day, too.
In Philadelphia?
Yeah, they were.
They played
with Phil Collins on drums.
I was there, and Sarah McLachlan was there. Are you
maybe that's.
I think we're talking about different.
Did you bring
shows.
You to tears and you thought about animals?
I think you're talking about like that fundraiser that they did for Medina when they were trying to raise money for Medina. That show.
Kitty Maine, everybody, thank you so much.
You've
Kitty.
Been listening to the greatest story never told.
Oh man!
A Double Flush production. The Men's Room is back. 99.9 KISW.
Today is coming up momentarily. We're joined in studio by the one and only Kenny Maine.
Kenny Wheelock Maine.
That's right.
Is your middle name really Wheelock?
Yes.
Is it Wheelock or Wheelock?
Like Wheelock. A gentleman named Eliezer Wheelock founded Dartmouth College, and I'm related to him.
And you were named.
It's a family name.
Aren't you lucky that's in the family?
It was embarrassing when I was little, and now it's kind of like I'm proud of it because I'm the last.
Wheelock?
I might be the last one.
Probably in the United States.
You know, now look, I don't want to bust the bubble, but like, it's one thing to say, man, I'm the last, I don't know, I'm the last heir in the family.
The last Wayne.
I'm the last guy. But that'll never end. That will never end. But I'm the last Wheelock. It's like, but we all know why.
In my family, the last male. My grandfather, my father passed. My Aunt Mary, she was a Wheelock. And my, like I mentioned, my son earlier. So we had I'm the last in my little, you know, our universe.
And your kids are what? They're teenagers probably?
They're two girls, 14 and 12. Riley, I like to brag about her. It's all right.
You like to brag about one, but not the other.
I'll brag about both.
Okay. You have to if they're listening.
I better come up with something on Annie pretty quick. No, I'm kidding. Annie's
smart. It's true, though. I have Annie's, 12 and a 14-year-old as
Annie's,
well.
Like, walking through school. She's A's and B's, and, like, we didn't even think about it. So I think it's the first one you always, like, oh, my God, what, you know, how are we going to do this? And,
yeah, the trailblazer.
And you overthink it. But Riley is a good singer, and she was at her concert. She's in, like, the all-city choir, whatever they call it, you know, and she's an only freshman. She comes out of the stands, and she's wearing high heels all dressed up. She trips and falls, goes to her knees, gets up, walks by me and says, that could have been worse. And then she keeps walking, composed herself, and, like, murdered her solo. Like, it was so cool to watch it because I think a lot of kids in any sport or music or whatever would, you know, at that age would, like, freak out and not hold their composure, but she was great.
How did your kids take your early exit from Dancing with the Stars? I know that's the age group where
they
really
pissed.
Care.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were the first to go, right?
I was the first in my season, season two, they called that one. And I was misjudged. I was better than Master P, and he knows it. But I don't care. I mean, the fact that I was first off actually benefited me because there became this joke with that being so bad. And then I was brought back to do, like, these things we call dance centers. Jerry Rice and Len Goodman, the judge, and I would do a fake sports cast, sort of. But they didn't do it last season, and then this past one that just ended, they wanted me to do it again, but I said, let's do it live. Wouldn't that be better? Because it's live to the East Coast. Yeah. It's 5 o'clock in L.A., and it's live to the East, and it tapes for Central and or for the West, I guess, Mountain and West. And they didn't want to do it live, so we didn't do it.
And it was the cha-cha that took you out, right?
Yeah.
Like, were there any
She asked me to do too much. I was ready to do, like, keep me in about 8-foot box. I would have looked elegant. But she had me all over the damn floor. I was just running to get to places. There's no more dancing. I'm just running like it's a P.E. drill in fifth grade.
I saw where Bill Nye was the first out here. It must be a Seattle thing. I can't figure it out. But how much training?
I'm over it.
Honest to God, how long
were you there? We did, like, 6 weeks, but we only did, like, 2 or 3 days a week because I was working football season at the time, you know, doing my fake NFL stories and pretend football stories, we called them. And so, like, I would go shoot Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, fly home Friday. She'd fly out to Connecticut. We'd do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'd take off again. Jerry Rice told me he worked out every day for, like, 8 weeks.
But isn't that just kind of like how Jerry
That's
Rice
kinda
is?
That's kind of Jerry is, yeah.
Just to get ready for Dancing with the Stars. And he won.
He did well. Yeah, no, he didn't win.
He did not win.
No, Drew Lachey won that year.
Who is it? Hines Ward, who won?
Drew Lachey.
Hines Ward, Emmitt Smith.
A lot of football players have won. Jerry's pissed he didn't win. And he would, he'd be mad at me if I didn't, on the dance centers, put on enough makeup. And we brought him out of his shell. He was kind of this calm, you know, very, not insular, but, you know, he kept it, you know, inside a bit. As a player, right? You know, he didn't say a lot. He didn't talk any. He wasn't like the Seahawks DBs, okay? He wasn't like that.
right.
Which I like. Those guys, they talk mess after getting scored on. Like, they'll talk at any point. It doesn't matter the situation. They're going to say something. But I love those guys. And last night was so great because they played so well, and the rush was strong enough, kept him uncomfortable. He had nothing downfield. He threw one or two balls all game.
Maybe
he was throwing like 5 yards. Mm-hmm. In the first half, Brees was like 14 for it, as I wow you with my statistical prowess. Like, whatever, 14 for 18 or whatever it was for, like, 70 yards. You know, like, nothing. Just dumps.
And do you feel like a Seahawk? I mean, with the shots you got, even though it was just a small period of time. The infancy of the team.
I don't feel like a player. I feel like more part of the organization to some degree because I was a 12th man.
Is this,
I raised the flag.
Obviously, other than the year when they went to Detroit, do you feel that this is the year?
There's not any question. You shouldn't ever get, you know, too far ahead of it. Like I, after the game, I was like, go back to work. Like, celebrate that for like 49ers. 10 minutes. Right. Yeah, you got another big game on the road. And, you know, there's no let up. And every team can beat every team. That old cliche is true. That's why we almost lost to some lesser teams. We weren't up. Our offense is finally good. Our offense sucked for a long time. We were just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But it wasn't on a big. Now, we didn't have Percy in the game. You know, like, just think when we had that speed.
And with this win against the 49ers, it's a bye week in the playoffs. You're the number one seed. There's no team in the NFC that could come into Seattle and win. Do you?
I mean, New Orleans, when they come back, and I think they will, I think they'll be better. And it'll be a better game. But I don't think anybody can beat Seattle there if I were betting money.
What do you think about the NFL saying that, okay, just like the year when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl the first time, unfortunately the game was in Detroit. Nothing wrong with Detroit. It is what it is. But, you know, you're going to the Super Bowl. It's like,
everything's wrong with Detroit,
I'm a fan
of Detroit. They're trying. They just went bankrupt.
Yeah, they are trying. Right. It's still kind of a hellhole.
Dave Bing at Mayor. How about that?
It's like going to a bowl game and you know, playing in a shell.
The fact that it was held there.
Yeah,
in Detroit.
Was it that trip or the All-Star game? Because the baseball All-Star game happened, like, right after, too. Like, they had two big events back to back. I forget if it was the before summer or whatever. But yeah, they're trying. They've been hit hard. But yeah, could you have gone to Miami or somewhere? Right. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Now this year, it looks like
I like this year. New York City is one of the coolest cities
great,
in the world.
Yeah.
The parties and all the atmosphere are going to be insane. And you play outdoors. If the quintessential game is Lambeau Field in the snow. What's wrong with snow in New Jersey?
This is football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Dress warm. How about that? There's a tip. Wear a coat.
In December. Or February, as it is.
Now, being Kenny
Mayne. Would I rather be in a luxury suite? Sure.
Yeah, but. Can you make that call? Can you make the call and say, like, hey, Jeff Amen from Pearl Jam, can I get a suite for a Friday night? Hey,
I don't think Jeff has suites at the Super Bowl. He's not.
Or at the Key Arena. I mean, like, could you have those connections? Can you make calls and get tickets? Could you go to the Super Bowl if you wanted
to?
Super Bowl
for money? I've never been able to call somebody and say, give me a free Super Bowl ticket. If you're doing a sponsorship thing, like, you know, showing up at Company X's party and saying funny things for 20 minutes, you might get tickets that way. But I don't have that hookup to.
You can get all the free golf balls you want.
I used to, but that whole deal collapsed. I got a guy somewhere, probably.
How did you lose the golf deal?
They ran out of money. They just stopped advertising. I drove them into the ground.
Yeah.
And you know what else? The girl that does, what's her name, Flo for Progressive?
Yeah.
I did the previous commercial.
So Flo took your job?
Well, I did the terrible commercial, and she got the good one. So she didn't necessarily take my job, but she got that job. I mean, she got that role, yes.
Okay.
I was doing the let's read the tariff of insurance forms here for 5 minutes. And
how did you get the role of Kenny Mayne in Kung Fu Mr. Magoo?
They just called. And it was fun.
Can you play yourself?
Could you be Kenny Mayne?
That was a fun hour or whatever. It was just did voiceover work in some New York studio. It was a blast.
And then
did someone actually like give you direction on how to be you better?
A little bit.
You know, like, hey, Kenny, you know, we know you're being yourself, but the way we perceive you is...
I have a guy named Matt, who's my producer for Wide World of Sports, the TV holiday special, December 12th on ESPN2.
Very good.
That we've heard about.
So much.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
If anybody's never heard of it, and that's most of your people, ESPN.com. That's, again, ESPN.com, and then put a slash, that slash, it goes that way.
Right.
Which one is that called?
Forward/backslash.
Yeah, that one. The one that goes like the top is more to the right and it comes back to the left.
I could do great.
That's a backslash, right?
Just try all the slashes and then put WWOS, Wider World of Sports. And then you can click on whatever story you want and go around the world and see all 18 of them if you want. Okay. And then the TV special is coming up December 12th.
One and only Kenny Mayne. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great time tonight at the Deck the Hall Ball.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Lord. I'm pissed. I like her. My daughters play her, you know, nonstop, and she's good.
It's gotten to the point that you like her now.
You've heard of them? You know what? They'll never start on time.
No, they won't.
Yeah, what's she doing?
They never. They stand around and wait. You know the. You know.
If you're familiar with the end, come on, man. It's not starting on time.
Exactly. Thanks, Kenny. We really appreciate it.
You guys still say Seattle's best rock?
Yeah,
I grew up.
Do we? No. What's our Hold on, what do you
say? You guys just talk?
Like on the,
man. We just talk.
We're a talk show.
Can I call for a song?
You can do whatever you want.
You can.
You can request one. I won't play it. We play a couple songs tonight.
What are you talking
about? That's
what
I like about Ted. Ted will take your request and will not play it.
We're doing
drove around Seattle to come in here and fill an hour, and I can't play one song.
It's radio. You say, we'll try to get that on for you.
I want to hear...
It's coming up soon.
I want to hear Talking Book, Big Brother.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's the band?
Come on.
This is the guy you're requesting music.
That hurts.
Exactly.
Stevie Wonder's his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stevie Wonder.
Sorry, at the Rock, I don't have a ton of Stevie Wonder in here.
Really, that is a shame.
You know, he used to open for the Rolling Stones, so he should.
Yeah.
But why didn't he have the Super Bowl halftime? The Rolling Stones, they did the same thing. He was the pregame show, and the Rolling Stones were the halftime show when the Seahawks played.
They told him it was the halftime show. Mm-hmm. Has he never done a halftime show? I mean, they get all these artists, and I mean,
I don't think he has. And that's some a crime
you don't
against
care.
Humanity.
You know,
no, seriously, or Stevie Wonder hasn't done the Super Bowl.
Stevie freaking Wonder, man.
That's a good call.
I mean, like anybody, the Klan probably puts on like Superstition before they do. They're like, love that guy, love him. You know, it's Stevie Wonder. It doesn't like Stevie Wonder.
You know what I said the other day, and we're not going to worry about this commercial break. It doesn't matter. This is non-commercial free radio. What we're doing today,
that's right.
Just viewers like you and listeners, just send in. We'll stay on the air somehow. The end can cover it. They're making so much money on that stupid concert. Lord will be on at 9 o'clock. Think we're doing homework tonight? No. What was the question?
Can you get a Pearl Jam?
Oh, I was just saying, no one has ever said, turn Stevie Wonder down, ever. Like, they'll say, turn that band down, or, you know, somebody. Doesn't everybody play their music loud in their car because they want people to know what music they're playing?
That's very important.
That's principally why you do it, isn't it?
Does Stevie Wonder have a person that tells him what the women look like who he's dating?
I'm not sure. His daughter leads him out on stage, Aisha.
Yeah.
Famous from Isn't She Lovely, Baby Crying in the Bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her.
Oh, that's her contribution?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've appeared on a Stevie Wonder album.
No, she sings her ass off. She's a singer.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah.
What else have I heard? So far, all I know her as crying.
Yeah, no, she comes out in his shows and sings harmony and, you know, blends in on the songs.
Nepotism.
What's the best show you've ever been to? Because you go to a lot of different concerts.
Best moment was with him at the Live 8 concert. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It was for African Debt Relief. And I was in Philadelphia, and I went to get him to say one line for our show and got him at 15 hours I put in to get him. And he said, I can't be at the All-Star game. I have a high ankle sprain. That was his line.
That's my excuse.
And he murdered it. One take. And I said, when's your album come out? And he looked back, he goes, soon.
So you saw Zeppelin?
No, I'm talking about Stevie Wonder.
No, I know, but Zeppelin was on stage that day, too.
In Philadelphia?
Yeah, they were.
They played
with Phil Collins on drums.
I was there, and Sarah McLachlan was there. Are you
sure? Maybe that's
I think we're talking about different
shows. Did you bring it to tears and thought about animals?
I think you're talking about like that fundraiser that they did for Medina when they were trying to raise money for Medina.
Yeah,
that show.
Kenny Mayne, everybody. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told.
Oh, man. A Double Flush production.